Jackie Fernandez, Melbourne, Australia सून तुमकां ह्यो गोंयच्यो खबरो कोंकणींतल्यान पावयता. आज नोव्हेंबराची 8 तारीख. सुरवातेक तारवटी एडबक परेरा हाचे बाबतीन खबर. गेल्ल्या सुमारांत मारगांव टाउन पुलीस स्टेशन हाच्या अधिकाऱ्यांनी एडबक परेरा ह्या तरणाट्याक पुलीस स्टेशन हातून हाडून भरपूर मारलो आनी तो सद्याक गोवा मेडिकल कॉलेज हातून ट्रिटमेंट घेता. ताची परिस्थिती सद्याक गंभीर आसा अशें दोतोरांनी फॅमिलीक सांगला. पूण ह्या विशयावर गोंयांत भरपूर बबप जाल्लो आसा, कारण पुलिसांनी कित्याक ताका मारलो काय म्हूण. सद्याक एकलो PSI हाका सस्पेंड केल्लो आसा, पूण गोंयकारांनी मागला की ह्या PSI हाचेर अटेम्प्ट टू मर्डर केस रजिस्टर जावची म्हूण. ही केसीची चौकशी सद्याक क्रायम ब्रांच करता. आमकां बाय प्रतिमा कुटिनो हे केसी बाबतीत आमकां सांगता.
हांवें FIR कॉपी दिल्ली आसा, तशीच हांवें एक कॉपी दिल्ली आसा जी हांवें कंप्लेन केल्ली पयर 1 तारखेर. आवयचे नाव घालून विओला पेराज सिरची वॉन्टेड, डेड मिंगल वास, अजय जांगली एंड 3-4 अदर्स तांचे नाव इन्क्लूड करचे म्हणून. कित्याक PCR जेव्हा फोन मारिले की तेनी येऊन पहिले न्यूसन्स क्रिएट केली, तेनी त्याला फिजिकली असॉल्ट केलं म्हणून. सो ऑन दॅट आय आस्क्ड PI सामंत, वेन आय डन द कंप्लेन ऑन द फर्स्ट अलॉंग विथ द मदर अँड द आंट अँड सर ऑल ऑफ अस, आयज 5 दीस झाले तुम्ही त्यांचे कित्याक एक्शन घेऊन आणि त्यांचे FIR कित्याक करून. ऑन दॅट ही टोल्ड मी दॅट ऑलरेडी इट सीम्स त्यांना पनिशमेंटाचे दोरिले असा, ताकडे खंय दोरिले असा, SP ते वयर दोरिले असा आणि रिझर्वात घातले असा खंय मिंगेल नवाज, कॉन्स्टेबल अजय जांगली आणि सो ऑल टुगेदर 6 जणांक मी थंय पनिशमेंट म्हणून रिझर्वात घातला, विच आय एम नॉट सॅटिस्फाईड. आय थिंक नो वेन एडवर्क इज सिरियस अँड क्रिटिकल देर दे शुड बी सस्पेंडेड. आय डोंट नो वाय दे हॅव जस्ट केप देम एज अ पनिशमेंट ट्रान्सफर. कोणाक सांभाळपाक सोदता काय म्हणून.
दुसरी खबर UK लंडन हांगासून. येता ते 2026 वर्साक पुर्तुगाल देशांत एलिसांवां जातली. हे बाबतीन पुर्तुगाल देशांत कांय कायदे बी बदल्ल्यात. हे बाबतीन आमकां गोवन असोसिएशन इन UK हाचो प्रेसिडेंट रवी वाज हाणें म्हायती दिल्या.
द लॉज हॅव स्लायटली चेंज अँड एज द लॉयर मिस्टर पीरस हायलायटेड टुडे, एस्पेशली फॉर marital, this is people who are applying for their Portuguese passport based on the marital status. It is important that you know the Portuguese language. It is important that you understand the Goan culture and thing. It is important that you do not have any criminal records, because if you have more than 2 years a sentence on you, then there's a possibility that your Portuguese nationality could be recalled if you have more than one nationality. So just be careful about that. It is important that you know the Portuguese language. There are certain initiatives that the Portuguese consulate is bringing so that they have Portuguese classes. We were talking today about having groups of, there were groups of more than 150 or approximately 150. Then we could have classes arranged with a Portuguese teacher. If not, we also have e-learning classes online available to all of us, and we will post that link on our website, our Goan Association website, with the www.goauk.com. We will try and get you up the information as it unfolds to you on our website. So watch this space, and we are here with you all along.
Ek dukhist khabar. गेल्ल्या सुमारांत आमचो गोंयचो फामाद थियात्रिस्ट आनी एडवोकेट मायक मेहता, जाचें खरें नांव मायकल रॉड्रिगीस, ह्या संवसारांतलो अंतरलो. 78 वर्सांचो मायक मेहता हाणें कोंकणी भास राखून दवरपाक जायतो वावर केल्लो. ताचो खास इश्ट एडवोकेट राधाराव ग्राशियस मायक मेहता हाचो उगडास करता.
आय हॅव बीन ऑलवेज इम्प्रेस्ड विथ हिम फॉर हिज एक्टिंग, कोंकणी थियात्र acting, directing, writing and producing plays, because that is something that is rarely done by people who are professionals. Because in Goa, theater is essentially a creation of the masses, and even the theatrists are not much educated in English. Of course, nowadays the trend is changing, but Mike was among the earliest who was well qualified, who went on the stage and not only acted but wrote, directed and produced plays. But what happens with Konkani theatre is it is essentially entertainment meant for the masses, so sometimes there is not much of substance except for entertainment. But I think Mike arrived on the scene and changed that to some extent. Of course, there are a few others who do the same thing, like Thomasin Cardoz, like John Clark, like Wilson Mazzarello. They also have sought to give a different direction than my friend Irineo Gonsalves in more recent times. Now, Mike Mehta's plays were socio-political and they contain a message. But then, like all over the world, even in English, plays or writings which are serious do not necessarily become commercial successes. So Mike's plays may not have been particularly successful from the box office point of view. But I believe I do not see theater. His plays like Goa Vikle, Gantar, Papagai, Kanta, Iberu, and several others like Paul Mujian Tukle, all these plays were appreciated by those who understood it. And Mike, in this connection, I must say, has played a stellar role, because after all, he is a man of literate man who has studied, who has done, I think, his MA, if I am not mistaken, who has done his LLB, who has practiced in the court, who has been a social activist. And when such people come on the stage and act in Kokani dramas, that gives a fillip both to the theatre and the language. Because generally the public perception is the theatrists are not very well-educated people. This is the perception. But nowadays, of course, it is disappeared. Now, of course, as I have said, Mike Mehta has contributed immensely to the growth of Kokani theatre. And his plays, like many other good plays, I would hope that someday they would be published in book form.
तर ह्यो जाण आसल्यामच्यो सुसेगाद दोंपार गोंयच्यो खबरो मेलबर्न ऑस्ट्रेलिया सावन मेळुया दुसऱ्या सोमारांत ते मेरेन मोगा संदी.
Baru, pai tu, pai godo. anga nat patro aila tatoru minata kumbasaru maka nat patro aila tabaru patu imaingodoru aminato ya baraboru
dali ngenduru nato korea suru.
Oh, Natoya Kumpasar. That song can, you know, get you going all day long. One of the finest movies that was produced by the Goan film industry. This is Richard here. Namaskar. Sagalyank maya mogotso yokar tumka sagalyank. Ani aicha sanwar bari garam asaz. I can see that Shaila is all dressed up for
ready for the summer.
Summer. She's just back from a picnic. And I have Jaden, our guest this afternoon, to talk to us about all this thing that is called AI.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, guys. Good fun.
Some people may mistake it as Air India, but it is not.
I did wonder whether Richard was on the same page that I was.
Well, I'm not experienced in India, so I can't talk on that one. So might have to go to the other one, eh?
But why didn't Jaden introduce himself?
So Jaden, tell us something about yourself. You were just sharing a few minutes ago about yourself.
Yeah. Oh, where do I start? That's always a hard one. Thanks, guys. I've been working with tech and in business and growth for a few years now. Currently, I'm the CTO of a automation platform for the accounting industry called Abby. But I've also worked with Shaila in lots of different capacities tech and, you know, growth solutions at her.
Problem solving.
Let's call it problem solving. A bit of everything. I've done lots of speaking on AI and thought leadership on it since before ChatGPT was even a thing. Been around a little while now, but love being in the space. So thanks for having me.
Oh, no, it's really nice to have you here.
So tell us, what is this artificial intelligence? I mean, let's start from ground minus one, minus zero.
Sure.
Some of us are absolutely dumb. We don't really understand. So what in your dictionary or general dictionary?
It's the impossible definition, eh? Everyone's going to have different opinions, and I think Shaila and I are pretty aligned, but we also have very different things on some pieces, and I'm sure everyone else listening will have their own definition. But I see it as the natural extension of what technology is, right? It's not this game-changing, sentient being that the media likes to hype it up to be. It's just another tool, really. It's smarter than other tools, but it's algorithmic, so it's going to take some time for it to be worth anything while, but it's good in all the little places. And, you know, there's all the doom and gloom, which I'm sure we'll get to a bit later on, but it's really just, it's a hard one to explain. It's a natural progression for business, for people, all the little things. And I think it's helping us be more human again. There's one thing that I'm quite loud on, which is all those little things that we've had to do as humans, we no longer have to do. We should be involved in it, but we can actually focus on what brings us joy, what makes us human and creative.
Also, it takes away the drudgery.
It takes away the repetitive.
Oh, my gosh.
So the repetitive stuff. So can it brush my teeth every morning?
Well, look. Hey, what Elon's showing out there, maybe in a couple of years, but not quite yet.
Yeah.
Okay, so what are the different names? Are there different names in the marketplace? ChatGPT and Copilot. And, you know, I get quite irritated at the office. I think they've introduced it and it pops up in your Outlook.
Yeah.
Can I draft this for you? Can I draft it? Keeps asking you and you say, stop it.
Yeah.
Or if I'm sending something out in Teams, it says, oh, it is past 5. Can we reschedule it for tomorrow? He says, stop it. So what is it? Can you tell us what are the different names that you hear, which is actually AI, but what are the different names and which are the top ones in the marketplace?
Oh, gosh. I mean, it's all the same thing with just a different wrapper. You know, there's different companies building their own models, which is the basis of AI, which is lots and lots of data just trained in slightly different ways. You've got OpenAI, which is ChatGPT. You've got, and I think they're involved with Copilot because they've got a partnership there. You've got Claude from Anthropic. You've got
Gemini
from Google. You've got X, as in Elon and his team, doing their own model with Grok. And there's some other really interesting ones.
Perplexity.
Perplexity, yeah.
And so you've got the AI models that people are building. And then you've also got all the existing SaaS platforms who've introduced AI.
100%.
So every project management tool, so ClickUp, Asana, all of them now have AI. Canva has AI.
Of course.
Zapier has AI. Salesforce has AI. So every other tool has now. So it's the
hooked
same
into it.
Base. It's the same base. What, you know that ChatGPT screen that everyone is so... It's the same chat. It just depends what LLM they've put into it and how they've taught that LLM to output. So some are output for image, some for video, some for editing, some for captioning, some for content. So it's just tweaking what it does.
So it's a base platform...
Yeah,
adjusted to different
to an extent. Technology.
Yeah, it's a
base
tool.
Okay, so base tool, and then you keep on adding to it.
Yeah. Now, of course, people make their own smaller models, sure, but most people are just taking an existing model because it costs a lot of money to make your own model, and they kind of just tune it. It's kind of like a car, right? You get a car and you want to make it go a bit faster, so you got to make it, you know, tune a little thing for your preference. I'm not a car guy. That's a terrible example, but that's the idea.
Yeah.
So recently there was a big argument in, or rather a debate in the United States, that somebody was designing an AI platform which was faster than somebody else, and they required heaps of money. And once they launched that, then the Chinese came and did it at one
DeepSeek.
And, so what is that debate about? Can you elucidate and can
I
you tell us?
I think you're talking about the DeepSeek one.
Yeah.
The rumor is... that there were some engineers at OpenAI that either gave some information to DeepSeek or they managed to find something else. I'm not too sure, but I believe there was a similarity in the training of it. So that was the...
Or was DeepSeek the Chinese?
Yeah.
The Chinese one, yeah.
Yeah.
So they could do it faster.
And cheaper, yeah.
And cheaper.
Because the everything is scaling so quick. That if there's shared knowledge anywhere, you don't have to discover it, right? So you take that and you start building on it.
I mean, it's no different now. We get a lighter out of our pocket, we quickly flick it, versus back in the old time, having to figure out how to start a fire with a flint.
So once you get the idea, then you're skipping steps. So that's what,
Okay, so let's start at, I would say I've gone from minus one to come to zero.
Yeah,
level.
On the ground floor.
So on the ground floor. So let's start. Say, how would one use this tool in, say, their normal emails or normal piece of work that they're doing?
I mean, lots of the tools we're seeing now are kind of an extension of the platforms you use. You know, if you've got Gmail, you can opt into the, Gemini tools, same with Outlook. So, I mean, it's the tools are already there. So it's no different than, you know, a company that releases a new feature on the platform you use. So you just use it. Like labeling in Gmail, right, or Outlook, the same deal.
Or searching.
It's the same exact thing. So I think that's always the...
It's just the it's quicker.
Yeah, and it's... Yeah. I suppose it's removing that fear a little bit, that introduction to the technology, which, you know, when it was first coming out properly a few years ago. Yeah.
So what do you do is that you say, hey, whatever it is, Gemini, please help me to draft this email or something of that sort.
And sometimes they even auto-suggest it, which is really cool, depending on what email provider you use or other tools. But just kind of fast-tracks the original raw response. I mean, half the time I would never send those anyway because they don't sound like me. But it's, for those really transactional things, it does the job, eh?
It helps for, you wouldn't, if you were just sending me an email, you wouldn't. But for example, I was drafting a policy around child data protection. That's not natural. It's not my go-to space, so that's a great space to go. Can you give me all of the child data protection? The summary of what's in law, and it gives it to you, and then you build on it. So that's where it's actually being used. So I don't know how many people are drafting emails with.
I mean, they would say they are. I still, if it's, I use it if it's like a really, really long one, but generally I'm still writing it because it's quicker to actually just get the thoughts out of my head.
So it does. See, that's the interesting thing, is it is essentially really smart automation, But automation depends on an input.
100%.
So, for example, PowerPoint, Excel, you can use Copilot, okay?
Yeah.
So I have a running massive spreadsheet that I collect data on, and I just tested it the other day. So I put Copilot on, and I said, can you summarize or infer for me what the spreadsheet says? And it gave me a great inference of, you know, this course is selling more than... But remember, it's summarizing a year's work of my... It doesn't create the spreadsheet.
Yeah.
So you have to give it something. And unless there is someone to give it something, it can't do it by... So there is a logic of you have to know what you're putting in to get out what you want.
Yes.
So you're saying that it doesn't have its own intelligence.
It has its own intelligence, doesn't have its own action. The action point comes from a human.
Yeah, so which means is that there has to be some data, or there has to be a referral point, and then it can work and tell you what it is.
Yeah.
It's not something like, okay, tell me how to make poached eggs.
And it makes the eggs. No, it doesn't.
So that's what I'm saying. So I've seen an outlook. Sometimes it's worth the while that you are drafting an email, you've drafted it. So there are a lot of spelling errors and grammatical errors, and you tell them, okay, can you now adjust this email to be tough or to mellow it down or to be collaborative? Yeah. So it does that. I've seen that. But sometimes you wouldn't like to send that email because that's not you.
Correct. Yeah.
And you get the whole thing, especially with email, you know, I don't know if you guys have seen the memes around it, you know, everyone's sending these AI emails, everyone's using the AI to summarize the email, and it's just back and forth, right? Like,
yeah, it's defeating the purpose of you generate an email through AI, I respond to your email through AI. What's the point of that?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so I mean, so there are what you guys are saying is that there are certain protocols that you need to observe.
Yeah. Yeah.
That where to use it and where not to use it.
Yeah.
So if it's a normal boy writing to girl, you can't use AI.
Oh, please don't.
That'd be bad.
You want any hope in hell of making something of that, don't do that.
Or if you're just writing a two-line email, it's not. But if it's something which is substantial, you need to use. So which of these are good? I mean, do you think that there are some better than the other? Or like Copilot is the best for Outlook? Oh. Or can you use Gemini, or are there protocols in organizations?
I think they've got their own flares. Like, statistically, some models are better than others. And, you know, like, within OpenAI, right, you've got GPT-5, GPT-4, GPT-5 Max, like, all the different versions within it that do different things. So it really depends on what you do, though, right? Like, if you're wanting to do something more analytical, you know, OpenAI is solid, but I would probably go for a model by Anthropic that seems to be a bit more analytical, where ChatGPT and, you know, OpenAI in general is very, does everything well, but nothing, everything good, but not anything really well these days.
Also, I mean, ChatGPT is more a tonal AI.
Yeah.
So if you want to say something in a different tone, it's so, that's the nuance of that. But there are some that do, you know, analysis well, some that do design well, so it's specific.
So I was you know, I've got hooked onto these Shorts, SHORTS, Shorts. And it's quite you know, very difficult to get off it. It's something which you've got hooked
onto. I was only this morning for about half an hour. It was bad.
So I got hooked onto it, and one of them showed a quiz going on in an office, and they were asking what AI you would use for different applications. So I was quite confused that there are so many of them.
Tons.
There are tons of them. So we'll take a break and come back to you to check what is your specialty, where have you specialized, and what is the option that you're providing to your stakeholders.
Awesome.
प्यारी वर्णा फिर तू एक पाउटी एक माता कितना साल्यारी वर्णा फिर तू एक पाउटी एक माता
Ketna Zalari Onna by Oliver Krastow. So that was a very, very old song by him when he was in his days, working days in the Middle East. So I don't know whether Shaila, you ever heard about him?
No, I haven't.
No. Okay. You're listening to
Sushigat. A little before my time.
Okay. Tumi aikata Sushigat Benpar Konkani radio program 104.0 Planet FM hoil. Mujhe sangata jasa Shaila ani amso guest Jaden. So Jaden, we broke off after getting a general idea about AI. What are the different tools that are there in AI? Or rather, what are the different platforms or different ways of using AI? Let's get to you. You have sort of got into this game at a pretty young age. I can say you're younger than us.
Yes, he's substantially younger than us.
Nah, not that young.
I think
a good moisturizer.
Tough to teach old dogs new tricks, okay? So, how did you get into this? And what actually motivated you to take this up?
I mean, as a kid, I was always playing with tech. I mean, that's everyone my age that was interested in it, you know, did that sort of stuff, wrote code and built the odd little website. And I kind of started my journey when I was building websites at the age of 12 and started freelancing at 15 and then kind of did that and did a few different internships and sort of stuff. After uni and doing a useless design diploma, went and worked in some startups, co-founded New Zealand's first like massive online hackathon during COVID, which had like 1,000 people building software for a weekend, so that was good fun. And then after that, went agency side, and that's actually how I met Shaila. But during that time, GPT-2 was around, which is well before ChatGPT was a thing, and I could start to see what it was doing and started playing with it within the creative world a lot more, which was how could we use it in the ad industry, which was a really interesting problem. But after a while, realized that, hey, it's getting better, it's getting cheaper, it's getting faster, it's becoming a lot more, you know, useful. So how can this be applied to small and medium businesses? So went out and worked with them, figuring out how we can do like semi-bespoke solutions before things were really as they are today, where nothing really had AI. And did that and just kind of went from there, figuring out how we can get people their time back and actually bring meaning back to what they do instead of all the drudgery, as you alluded to earlier.
So you found that niche, or you found that opportunity. I mean, is it because you were in those fields, or is it because you saw from a very high perch, hey, this is where I need to go?
Yeah.
Somebody said, why don't you try this?
One of my skill sets is pattern recognition. And so I could start to see the early, like the pattern recognition of all the big changes, the Industrial Revolution, the dot-com bubble, even change from, you know, like the introduction of the iPhone. All those little things that were happening seemed to have the same steam coming with AI when it was still a underground sort of thing in Silicon Valley. So I was like, okay, there's something here. So just followed that pattern and got a bit curious.
How did you land on the accounting thing, though? Because that's not your lane.
No. I was speaking at a conference, and two accountants came up to me with this really insane idea. And insane ideas are always the best ideas, I like to say. And just, kind of got talking to them and figuring out how we could use AI and, well, mainly automation, really, in the end. But they seem to be couple those two terms these days, but figuring out how we could get people their time back, because AI, and this is why it works really well with accounting, is it's very good for all the repetitive things that we do in automation, right? Like there's certain rules that you must follow, so therefore use these calculations to get there. Now AI can be a bit creative in the way it comes up with its results sometimes, that's why automation's great. But then when I sat down with him and they're like, we're trying to figure out the problem, we realized that we could get save the average accountant 1,000 hours a year. Wow. That's a problem I like to solve. So that's the connection. 1,000 hours a year. That was what I was chasing, was how do we get people 100 hours back a year, you know, 500 hours a year, let alone 1,000 hours a year. So that was the...
So what's the measure from the point of view of labor cost, or was it the point of view of efficiency and accuracy? What was the focus on?
Well, funny enough, at the same time, I also did another conference with a group of accountants, and on average, the room of 100 people, there were, I'd say, 75% that said they were working 80 hours a week. That, to me, was like, we're working way too hard and not smart, you know? So that was a big thing. But also, you look around in any business, people love what they do, but there's always that 20% of work that they don't like to do. You know, the reports that they've got to generate, the admin sort of activities where they can't be creative, and that's not what they signed up to do in the first place, you know? Mm-hmm. No, going to the accounting example again, no person went to uni to go, I'm so excited to do compliance reporting my whole career, let's go, exciting. They're like, no, I want to go and solve problems, help businesses and all that. So
what you're saying is it's not efficiency really, and it's not even cost saving, it's really just,
well, I think it goes hand in hand though, stuff. Right? Like, because if you've got a, you know, if you're working hourly, sure, there's that, but also could it be replaced by more profitable things? You know, compliance is, you can charge a certain example, certain cost, but things like advisory, you can get a lot more money out of that, right? So
that's, so I was going to ask, so 1,000 hours a year is a substantial amount.
It is.
Of time back.
A lot of time back.
Like on average, what, 3 hours a day? I mean, just without, so you have people who have been using this for a year at least?
100%.
So what do they do with 1,000 hours that they've saved?
Well, I mean, some of them are working 40 hours a week again, which is a novel concept. Others are choosing to bring on more clients because at the moment, a lot of people aren't taking on new business. Our users are actually able to go and get those extra ones, which is great because they're making more money and saving time. But you also get the others that are, as I said, going into the advisory work, or they're going into other, you know, similar areas, which they enjoy more, and it's more profitable for them. So they're saving time, they're saving money, making more money at the same time, and having more fun. So it's a pretty good combo.
Has it been applied to audit?
Not audit, no. That's a whole other kettle of fish.
Now, why I'm asking this question is that every year a new bunch of grads come for auditing, and they have not read the files.
Yes.
And so they have been sent, and they'll come and ask the same questions.
Yes.
Because they've been given a template. Hey, you need to get this. And
totally.
So they'll come and give it to you. Say, can you give me this? But I gave you last year.
Yeah.
What's happened to that? No, this time we want it again. Mm-hmm. So has AI been?
I mean, I haven't heard of anything being done yet, but I'm sure there's folks out there working on that. Like, that's the sort of stuff where AI does really well. Like, you know, I was talking to a lawyer recently, and they're using it for some of that sort of stuff as well. Like, all those really low-level, you know, ticks and you know, checks and ticks that they've got to do. And also the early drafting of those really quick things that they're doing.
So,
but, yeah.
So if I may, because I also work in the field of accounting.
Of course.
So, if I may ask.
Yeah.
So, you would have automated or made repetitive stuff like, say, setting up a vendor.
Yeah.
That's repetitive.
Sure.
So, you have that automatically.
We haven't done that because for our use case, it doesn't touch that. But, yeah, like, you can do all that sort of stuff really simply these days, which is really great.
Yeah. So what are the stuff that you have done? Which are they? Unless it is confidential.
No. Definitely not. What have we done? We've reconciled bank and loan statements using AI to read the bank and loan statements to do all that. Analyzing GST, IRD data, ACC data to reconcile all that. Reverse engineering how we can get variances as well. So going through all the ledgers and trying to figure out how you can get to that point. Doing all the journals and draft, of course, through to things like income tax. And we've just been tackling Australia, so all their horrible tax laws as well. But just all the classic work papers that accountants do as part of their compliance work. We've figured out how to do that purely by just reverse engineering, which, kind of fitting to the AI topic, is that's the biggest thing I think people haven't realized, is if you don't know how to articulate what you do, how can you use AI automation to do it? So we had to learn that in a very intense way of doing it. But yeah.
So in a way, it is actually going back to the understanding of what it is you do, and then finding out what is the part of what you do that's non-human and repetitive. Mm. And then focusing. So there is an aspect of actually, because we all do a million things every day. Not all of it is truly our job and what there's a lot of, so it's about it's about really understanding that, and most often we're coasting through without even thinking about those things.
100%. I mean, one thing I like to do when I'm doing like a conference or a workshop is asking people to articulate their morning routine. People just go, get ready. But until they stop and think, well, hot up. The first thing I do is, I hop out of bed. Okay, what do you do to hop out of bed? And you break it down to those really small chunks. That's what people need to get into the habit of if they want to use AI. Yeah.
So that's actually what training is about. When you're training the model, you're not saying produce this. You're taking it through each step to produce that. So it's really articulating. That's true.
So up to what stage do you think this can be scaled? I did attend one of these sessions presented by EY, and they were talking about consolidation of accounts as to, you know, big companies, consolidation of account, branch accounts, and so on and so forth. They were talking about AI. Up to what level do you think that AI has a capacity or could be tweaked to deliver a couple of things in accounting?
I mean, I think you could go as far as you want. If it doesn't require creativity, so those things that are very structured and formulaic, go as far as you want. You know, a lot of time to make sure that you're either automating it in very structured places and scripting versus letting AI be creative. Those are two different things. But, I mean, the world's the oyster. The biggest thing is the time, the money for businesses or individuals to go and, you know, do this. That's the biggest barrier right now. And I think we're seeing lots of these tools coming up with all this great technology. You know, Outlook's an example because it's a big company. But you look at these smaller guys that are coming out with all these little pieces. Mm-hmm. I think it's just going to take a time for that to build, I suppose.
So let's get to the cost of doing it. Okay, it's not going to be easy for many organizations, and therefore there are people coming around talking about, oh, I can get that done at X price, whereas you're paying Y, which is too high. Let's talk about it after we hear a song.
Sounds good.
तेरे बसला तुम बसले मुखले बसके हम बाहर भीतर लासला आत्म फोड़ना रिस्के तू तो दुनिया ते दो शेंडो वंदरा भाषण वाक्ता टटा फटा नाकत मोचा लागता हम पढ़ने से तेरे बसला तुम बसले मुखले बसके हम बाहर भीतर लासला आत्म फोड़ना रिस्के तू तो दुनिया ते दो शेंडो वंदरा भाषण वाक्ता टटा फटा नाकत मोचा लागता Agho shendo, ya kasule so kando.
Where ho shendo, mujhe pakar asa wo tu kab buslo wando.
Agho shendo, ya kasule so kando.
Where ho shendo. मुझे शेते तो चिंतुन कड़ला मुझे काली से फुटो न रड़ला फैशन नानी उकलून मका अर्धे वाटेर सोडला अर्धे रगा थर्ते वोईल पुर्ग्या बारां मोडला देखुनु मतेर सुमसर अच्छे पुराय रकोट मोडला मुझे शेते तो चिंतुन कड़ला मुझे काली से फुटो न रड़ला फैशन नानी उकलून मका अर्धे वाटेर सोडला अर्धे रगा थर्ते वोईल पुर्ग्या बारां मोडला देखुनु मतेर सुमसर अच्छे पुराय रकोट मोडला अरे हो शेंडो वेरे हो शेंडो मुझा लक्षण तो कोंडो
वेग हो शेंडो
टाका चितुर शितुर वेता आकला तो कांदो
अरे हो शेंडो अरे हो शेंडो वेरे हो शेंडो मुझा लक्षण तो कोंडो
वेगो हो शेंडो वेगो हो शेंडो टाका चितुर शितुर वेता आकला तो कांदो
তুমি একত সুশেগাদন পার কোঙ্কনি রেডিও প্রোগ্রাম XN4.4 XN4.0 প্ল্যান্ড FM ওভার AI didn't मुझे संगत आज असा जेडन आम सो गेस्ट आणि शैला बाई सो वी वर डिस्कसिंग अबाउट जेडन्स जर्नी इन टू दिस ए आय वर्ल्ड अँड हाऊ ही इज क्रिएटेड हिज ओन लिटल कबी कॉर्नर ऑर सोल्युशन दॅट ही कॅन यु नो वर्क ऑन बट जेडन यु नो this whole thing of AI for every organization has a cost, and it all depends upon, you know, how much you can afford and how far you can go down the track.
Yeah.
So therefore there are so many options in the marketplace, somebody doing the same stuff for a lower cost, somebody 100%. Charging you more, and so on and so forth. So what are your thoughts on this, and what are you to say? A good AI solution, how much does it cost?
How long's a piece of string? Yeah. That's the real answer. I mean, it depends what you do, right? Like, there's some tools that are coming out now for, you know, $20, $30 a month. But when you go to a team, that adds up very quickly. Yeah. So, you know, that's part of it. Then you go through to some of the more enterprise solutions, which are tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars a year, depending on what you do. But it really, I suppose, if it saves, you know, your business money and time, sure, great ROI. But I think there's a lot of people that have jumped on the bandwagon going, we need to do AI, and they haven't done the business case for it, even just a quick, you know, napkin math. So, you know, AI can cost as much or little as you want, but it's an investment decision, I suppose.
It depends on where you're applying it, right?
Yeah, 100%.
So a free chat costs you nothing in terms of cash cost, but it depends where you're applying it and whether. So, I mean, theoretically, I debate the idea that technology actually saves money. It doesn't really, because what you save in one area, you spend, like, you will save on efficiency and the number of people doing a certain task, but you will spend double the amount instituting it and building it. And if you don't spend that amount of money, you get a very, you know, off-the-shelf product that doesn't give you as much efficiency. So it equates in the end. It's, I mean, really.
So, but there must be something that is, you know, I know there are no free lunches. So, if I take subscription, or if I opt for Microsoft Outlook, or if I've got Gmail, does the AI package come with it without any cost?
I mean, it depends what plan you're on, I think. I mean, I'm not too versed of the Microsoft ecosystem these days, but you were saying before.
Yeah, Microsoft's just released Copilot Chat free for its M365 Lite. So if you've got a license with them, you get the chat free. And the chat free means you just get the chat that you can, you know, ask questions, and it searches the internet. And you have the Copilot on Word, Excel, and PowerPoint.
Not on Outlook.
on Outlook as well. So it's but that's just formatting.
Yeah.
Find my email, rewrite my email. It's not serious AI.
No.
It's just formatting.
It's a cute toy.
Yeah, it's a toy, basically.
Yes.
But you pay, if you pay, then you get Copilot, which then you can do things like, Copilot, can you tell me what Richard said about the 2019 budget? And what it will do is it'll search all of SharePoint, all of your emails, and say, Richard said this, then he refuted this. Then so that is a fully licensed Copilot.
Copilot. Yeah. So that would be something which small businesses and small accountants or lawyers, small firms of lawyers
would be looking
into. 100%.
Yeah. What about then scaling up?
Mm. I mean, it becomes very tool focused on that point, right? Like, some large corporates have got, you know, massive agreements with OpenAI and all this for other internal tools that it's been hooked into their, you know, client management systems, the CRMs. It's been hooked into, you know, process related activities through to customer support, especially. So it just becomes at a point, either hooking into your, you know, tools you're already using it these days, most of the tools, you know, whether you're using HubSpot or Salesforce, or you're using some tool for, I don't know, process based in your organization, they've got the tools in it. So generally it would be either upgrading those plans or using those tools. Then you go even further and it's custom bespoke solutions for an enterprise, and that's, you know.
But custom bespoke really is the likes of Spark, OneNZ, 100%. Tesla. That's the caliber of business that's going to hire someone to build AI just for their organization.
Yeah.
Everyone under that's going to use the AI that comes
100%.
With,
yeah.
Because it's not the cost of just building. It's the cost of building and training.
And then the maintaining.
And then maintaining. It's not like any other platform where once you've set it up, it's going to run. It's going to keep learning, so you have to keep pulling it back.
Yeah.
And letting it stick to your true business. Otherwise, it'll run off and do its own thing.
Absolutely.
So, at the moment, there would be a huge buy-in for AI.
Yeah.
Wow.
There's obviously people scared, but yeah, as a whole, everyone's excited.
So, when black and white television went out, everybody rushed in to buy a colored television. If it didn't have colored, you have not yet arrived.
<That's correct.
laughs> Okay. So, everybody seems to be on this bandwagon. What is the customer feedback? Happy? Not happy?
Yeah, I mean, those that truly use the technology well like it. Those that just kind of go chuck a email in and go fix this, that's a different story. So people that actually put their thought into the tools are really happy. The ones that are just kind of using it but not using it, they're too happy. And then also you've got the ones that are, I suppose, hesitant to use it and hesitant for change, and it's huge change management things, which a lot of businesses have done really well the last few years. Mm-hmm. There's also, you know, the few that haven't even thought about doing the change management side, but it really becomes down to the attitude of the people using it. Like, the technology is great if used in the right scenario in the right way. So I was
hearing the other day, just someone giving a talk on how it's completely revolutionized the health sector.
Oh my gosh!
So in health, AI has really helped. Just the fact that a doctor who was seeing 12 patients a day can see up to 60 patients a day because AI is automating his notes. So the amount of time he's spending on post-patient admin work is completely reduced. When they're able to do basic, like, x-rays, okay? We're talking about not, you know, like brain surgery, but just run-of-the-mill x-rays.
Yeah.
If you can stick it into a machine and the AI says, it's a broken bone, you need to do this. Just some of that mundane stuff, they're talking about, it's completely revolutionized the health sector. And if you think about areas where you don't have enough staff and you don't have enough reach, something like that can be the difference between an entire location having healthcare or not having it. It's quite
That's
an amazing
huge.
Thing to hear. Yeah.
So what I'm hearing is that it all depends how you adapt the technology and apply it.
Yeah.
It is like, you know, somebody going and saying, oh, we have got SAP in our company, but you've just taken a diskette and put it there.
Yeah.
Diskette.
That's an old school.
I have not heard that word.
I sometimes use
it. For a second, I actually wondered what you were talking about.
So we sometimes tell guys, you know what you've done? You just sent somebody to Germany, has got come back with a diskette, put it there, yeah, ran it, installed the system, never bothered to adapt it. So it's something like that.
Yeah.
But tell me, as we were discussing a few minutes ago, is that everything has a cost. There are no free lunches.
Okay. Absolutely.
So what is the footprint of this AI? Is it sustainable in the sense, does it have an ecological impact? Does it have, or what is it? Because for us, for the system to go and search for all that information and return it back to you at in the fraction of a second means you need to have some advanced technology in servers and pretty large servers, and to keep them cool and calm, you may have to, you know.
Well, I think like I was just telling in the while the music was playing before. I think it was last year alone, OpenAI said that they spent $30 million on people saying please and thank you. And the there was a lot of water, like liters and liters and liters, like thousands of liters of water wasted through to, you know, the power costs of all the servers just to process those little words. So it is, it's demanding of our energy supply, our water supply as it is. So, you know, the technology is getting more, efficient, which is great. And I think you look at the first computers, you know, like the Apollo program back at NASA, this one massive computer took the size of multiple rooms that is less intelligent than the phones in our pockets these days. You know, things are going to get more efficient and more, more economically friendly, like the team at NVIDIA, which is a GPU processing company that's powering most of the AI race these days, are coming up with these really, really tiny, powerful, ecologically friendly processors, which that's great. There's lots of other technology stuff happening around the use of...
But as efficient as they've gotten, the ecological footprint has not come down.
Not yet, no.
So we might not be using as much power for a computer that's the size of a room, but we have e-waste like we've never had it before.
100% agree.
So that's not a problem that's going away anytime soon. We've not solved that at all.
No, and that's the big thing, right? I mean, hey, we could go on about all the crazy breakthroughs in science of people recreating brains and stuff for computing these days, but that's decades away yet anyway. But so
that's a cost on the ecology side. That's a cost on the tech side.
Yeah.
There's also a huge cost for businesses.
Absolutely.
Or for accounting firms, like the recent case in Australia where Deloitte just published...
Oh, that was terrible.
I don't know whether you have. Deloitte just submitted a report to the government of Australia, and within an hour or two, they said that the government of Australia said that's a fully AI generated.
There were links that didn't exist, like references. It was.
No.
Yeah.
So this was Deloitte. And the government had spent close to about, say, $100-200 million for that report.
Yeah.
So there is a cost. I don't know what's happened, whether Deloitte has paid that back, but even KPMG did the similar stuff.
I haven't heard the full story though.
So I think there are costs on both sides. So using technology, using newer tools which are there out in the market, which are yet to be tested and proved and to be established, firmly rooted, is something that you need to look out for.
Yeah, and I think that comes back to human due diligence though, right? Like, it's no different than if you use templates for things internally for, I don't know, whatever templates you have that you use for everything.
If
you haven't changed someone's name or you've shared someone's, personal information, it's no different to that. So it just comes back to the human.
So we've run out of time, Jaden. Yeah. We could carry on this conversation as such. Thanks a lot for
thank you guys for having
coming all the way from Whangarei and joining us on the radio and giving us an insight into the world of AI.
Thanks,
thank you very much.
That's awesome.
Thank you, Shaila. You've got
a
busy
nice
week.
Chat.
Yeah, it's good fun.
A seriously technical chat.
Seriously technical. Oh, gosh.
César nici în sune saiba, din hati ubali.
Vaga goros marta papa, naun gelanga varir.